Everyone has logs, and there are many regulatory, legal, and contractual requirements to ensure that these logs be retained in a tamper-evident fashion. For example, Sarbanes-Oxley, HIPAA health regulations, credit card payment contracts. However, write-only memory isn't really suitable for these logs. So there's a wide variety of commercial solutions to satisfy these needs for tamper-evident logging. There's a whole industry selling write-only commercial appliances. The security of these current commercial solutions depends upon the correct operation of these write-only appliances, an email appliance, the logs of your email that goes through it. What we would rather have instead of these trusting the correct operation of these appliances is cryptographic techniques. The logger can prove its correct behavior to third-party auditors. Unfortunately, existing approaches for tamper evidence are too slow. Existing cryptographic techniques for tamper evidence are too slow. So our solution is the history tree. The history tree data, log data structure is logarithmic for all operations, and our prototype can benchmark 1,700 events per second, including full digital signatures on each event. And it will also benchmark at 8,000 audits per second. In addition, in this research, we propose a new threat model for tamper-evident logging. We also demonstrate the importance of auditing in any tamper-evident log design. So the typical threat model that tamper-evident logs run under is called the forward integrity threat model. So the idea is the logger goes along normally, but at some point the logger becomes evil. Forward integrity says the logger cannot tamper with any events from prior to the failure, but at that point, the logger is allowed to tamper with events logged after the failure. One of the problems with this threat model is we don't know when the logger actually does become evil. So you know the log is evil at some point, but where? It also assumes that clients are trusted. In contrast to that, many of those contractual and legal requirements explicitly assume strong insider attacks, particularly a malicious administrator. Now, if the administrator of the logger is themselves malicious, then you have to assume the logger could be evil at any point in time from the beginning to the end. In addition, our strong insider attacks threat model also assumes clients may be mostly evil. By that, what we mean is we only trust clients during the insertion protocol. We don't trust clients after inserting an event or prior to inserting an event. So therefore, our system design consists of a single logger. The logger is responsible for storing all events. The logger is, however, never trusted. We also have clients. Clients are assumed to have not much storage. They create events to be logged, but they're only trusted at the time of event creation to send the event to the logger, perform the rest of the insertion protocol, and to send commits that they receive to auditors. After that point, they are not trusted, and they may collude with a logger to tamper with the historical past. So therefore, we have to have a third party, a trusted party in the system, auditors. The purpose of auditors in our design is to verify the correct operation of the logger. They're assumed not to have much storage, and we're going to assume they're trusted and at least one is honest. And although we do assume that this system design with a strong insider attack threat model, our tree history has a similar performance efficiencies compared to existing designs, compared to the forward integrity threat model. So what is the high-level description of a tamper-evident log? It's fairly straightforward. Events go in, commitments go out. Each commitment commits to the entire past up until that point in time. So an example of such a log is the Kelsey and Schneier hash chain log. Here we have events denoted by X sub N's and commitments denoted by C sub I's. So each commitment is defined as being the hash of the prior head of the log and the new event that's just being inserted. And of course the logger signs and distributes the head as the commitment to the entire past. But there's a problem with this design. We actually don't trust the logger. So the logger is really just going to return a stream of log heads to clients and auditors. The problem is that each of these log heads corresponds to some log, but the contents of that log are unknown. All we have is an opaque hash. Do we know, for example, given a log head we received after inserting an event, does that log head actually really contain the just inserted events? If we have two commitments, do they really commit the same historical events? Do C sub n minus 1 and C sub n minus 2 really have the same contents in the log from a week ago, a month ago, 1,000 events ago? And more generally, is an event at a particular index in the log really what the logger claims it is? And here I'm demonstrating all these properties using a hash chain. So the solution to all these problems to have assurance that the logger is logging correctly is to have auditors explicitly check the return commitments. So we can check for consistency. Given two commitments, CN-2 and CN-1, do they actually commit the same historical events? So we can also check for correct event lookup. Given an event, is it really at the claimed index in the log? Now, previously, auditing was equated to looking up historical events. This was assumed to be an infrequent operation, and its performance was thus ignored. Unfortunately, auditing happens to be a frequent operation. So let's say the auditor possesses some commitment, CN-3. That is the head of some log. Now let's say the logger knows a priori from the system design that this commitment will never be audited for consistency with any later commitment. Well then, wouldn't the logger be perfectly free to substitute a complete alternative event in the log at that location? So this means this because the logger knows it will not be checked on its result, it is successfully tampered with a tamper-evident log. An attack similar to this also applies even if you have a forward integrity threat model. So what this means is to avoid these attacks, a tamper-evident logging system must have the property that every commitment in the system must have a non-zero probability of being audited. So that means there's a new paradigm for designing tamper-evident logs. Since auditing cannot be avoided, and audits should occur in every event insertion in between commitments inserted by the logger, we have to now know how can we make inserts and audits cheap in terms of CPU, communications complexity, and storage. So to this end, we define two forms of audits. Membership auditing is, given an event index I in the log, it says, is the event at that index in the log? When the log is represented just by the head signed hash commitment. We can use this both to verify that a just inserted event was inserted correctly, and also to look up historical events in the log. The other form of auditing is incremental auditing, which we use the congruent operator for. This is used to prove the consistency between two commitments. By consistency, we mean, do these two commitments commit the same historical events? So how could a membership audit a hash chain? So let's say the logger or an auditor has some commitment, CN-3, and then wants to look for a given event N-5 to look it up in the log. So what would the form of such proof exist? Well, we know that CN-3 is the head of a hash chain of unknown contents. Now the proof that the logger consented the auditor consists of all the intervening events in the hash chain followed by additional commitment, denoted by the proof P here. From this P, we can then reconstruct additional nodes in the hash chain, and we can now check for equality. If we have equality in the head of the hash chain with a previously known commitment CN-3, by the collision resistance of cryptographic hash functions, we know all the corresponding events must be equal. We can then therefore just read the event directly out. And we've now proven that this particular event is a particular index in the log by using this proof P. Now an incremental audit is similar. Here, we're assuming that the auditor possesses two commitments signed by the logger, C'N-5 and C'N-1. Now these two commitments are, of course, the heads of two hash chains of, again, unknown contents. So the proof P proving the consistency between these two commitments consists of all the intervening elements in the log followed by a commitment, which you can reconstruct the root head. Now if we have equality between the commitment in the proof P, CN-5, and C'N-5, we know the corresponding events in these two logs must be equal to each other and they're consistent. Similarly, we can check for equality of the hash CN-1 in the proof P and the previously known commitment C'N-1. If they're equal, again, we know that corresponding events in those two logs must be equal. And if both equalities hold, we now know that the two commitments C'N-1 and C'N-5 must store the same historical events. And we've now shown consistency. Unfortunately, existing tamper-evident log designs like the hash chain I just shown is inefficient. Auditing is a linear time operation. Every intermediate event in the log must be sent to the auditor to audit between two commitments or an event in a commitment, which means historical lookups are incredibly inefficient. Looking at an event inserted a million events ago requires sending a million intermediate hashes, which is, depending on your hash size, could be on the order of 32 megabytes. An alternative design proposed was a simplest history by Maniatis and Baker. However, in this design right here, auditing is still a linear time operation. for doing incremental auditing. However, the system does support logarithmic time historical lookups. Now, in contrast to those, our solution is the history tree data structure. The history tree is logarithmic time for all operations instead of linear time. It also offers a variety of useful features, including a very fast, efficient, write-once-append-only storage formats, and it also offers predicate queries and safe deletion of the log. In addition, the history tree offers another possible feature, and that is we can probabilistically detect tampering with a log by only auditing a random subset of events. This feature, although possible in skip lists and hash chains, is actually of no benefits. So the history tree data structure looks like an ordinary Merkle binary tree. Events are stored in the leaves, so you have logarithmic path links and random access. The design permits the reconstruction of past versions and past commitments. Now, for purposes of exposition, I'm presenting history trees of fixed depth. The actual data structure can grow its depth as needed to handle logs of unbounded size. So here's an example of a history tree containing two events, x1 and x2, and you see the root commitment. As we add events to the log, we replace appropriate write children with nodes, and we just incrementally add on. Now notice something curious. If we take the previous version 7 history tree and we were to pretend that certain write children were really nulls, we could reconstruct the older version 3 history tree. This is the intuition for how we could perform an incremental audit. So let's say the auditor receives the commitment C3 from the logger at some point in time. The audit logger then has events added to the log. At a future point in time, the auditor receives the commitment C7. The auditor now wants to know, are these two commits consistent with each other? Do they commit the same historical pasts for the events they share in common? This is an incremental proof. So the nature of an incremental proof between these two commitments is as follows. The logger supplies the following partial nodes into a pruned tree, from which the auditor can then reconstruct the rest of the pruned tree up to the roots. And the proof consists of 3 steps. In the first step, so note that the auditor possesses two commits, C3 and C7 of unknown contents, and is attempting to prove their consistency. So the first step in the proof is we show that the prune tree pre-supplied to the auditor is consistent with the commitment C7. To do this, we can just reconstruct hashes in the prune tree P to the root and compare for equality. If they're equal, we know that P and C7 are consistent with each other. They must contain the same events. Similarly, we can take the prune tree P, pretend that certain write branches are really null, and then again reconstruct hashes up to the roots and compare for equality with C3. And if that equality holds, you know that P is consistent with C3 and that they both possess the same events at the beginning. And if both equalities hold, we know C7 and C3 are consistent with each other. Now notice something. Here, we never sent the events X1 and X2 to the auditor. That's because these two events are fixed by the hashes above, by the hash and the hashes above them. So you know that C3 and C7 both fix the same elevate unknown events. It is this optimization which makes the history tree logarithmic time, as it allows unnecessary subtrees to be omitted from auditing proofs sent to auditors who are attempting to verify the consistency of the log over time and also look up older events. Now, given that design of the history tree, we also support a feature called Merkle aggregation. So let's say we annotate events with attributes. Say a transaction log, we annotate events with the dollar values of transactions. We can then aggregate these events up the tree using, say, the max operator. Now, the idea of annotating a Merkle tree with auxiliary data isn't new and shows up in a lot of other research. However, these attributes can be incredibly valuable in logs. By using the max function, we can implement interesting searches such as logger, please give me all transactions over $6. The logger can then do a recursive traversal over the entire log contents from the top down, pruning off any subtrees of values with annotations less than $6. And the auditor knows that no required events were omitted from the proof. This can also be used to indicate which subsets the logger is allowed to keep. Let's say the logger is authorized to delete all transactions under $4. Well, then in this case, the attribute of this circle node right here attests that the logger was permitted to delete all the events in the subtree. And because these attributes are included in all the hashes in the entire tree, these attributes will be checked both during membership audits when events are inserted and also checked over time through incremental audits so that any tampering in them will be detected. Now, MRGA aggregation is extremely flexible. There's many ways we can map events to attributes. We can really choose any arbitrary computable function. And many attributes are possible. We can include timestamps, dollar values, flag bits, tags, integers, many choices. There's many aggregation strategies, addition, multiplication, minimum, maximum, ranges, and/or operations, Bloom filters. The one caveat is the aggregation strategy must be fixed when the log is created and cannot be changed thereafter. Now, for evaluating the history tree, evaluate in terms of both the big O performance and also our empirical syslog implementation. So in terms of big O performance, here you can see the overheads for doing audits and also for doing inserts. The history tree is, as you can see, logarithmic for all operations. However, even though inserts are logarithmic in the history tree, they parallelize very nicely. In contrast, the skip list history, a skip list history performance depends on the system design. For the exact details of this, please see the paper. Now, our syslog implementation was collected from using a trace from Rice CS departmental servers. Our trace consisted of 4 million events collected from 11 hosts over 4 days. We repeated this trace 20 times to create an 80 million event trace. Our implementation is a hybrid of C++ and Python. It's single-threaded, so only used one CPU core. It's also MMAP-based. It also uses our MMAP-based append-only write-once storage, so storage is extremely fast. We use 1,000-bit DSA signatures and 160-bit SHA-1 hashes. And our machine is a dual-core 2007-era desktop machine with 4 gigabytes of RAM, which is only enough to store about 12 million events, so approximately 1/6 of the total contents of the log. So our insert performance was very acceptable. We got 1,700 events per second, which averages out to over a terabyte a week of logging throughput. And overall, as in many systems, most of the overhead was spent signing the commitments. Auditing performance was very good. When auditing commitments that were recently inserted into the log, among, in this case, the last 5 million events, we got 10 to 18,000 incremental proofs per second and about 8,600 membership proofs per second. However, when we did random membership audits looking at any random event in the entire log, since among all 80 million events, we were limited by our hard drive's disk seek latency and only obtained 30 membership proofs per second. In all cases, the worst case of all of our proofs right here was less than 4,000 bytes for self-contained proof size. Compression reduces both the performance and the proof size by about 50%. In the paper, we also describe a way to reduce this proof size further by exploiting redundancy between proofs when an auditor makes several queries to the logger. And also for more results, particularly for our MRGA aggregation lookups, please see the paper. Now, it might be necessary that you want that it might be desirable to improve performance above 8,000 audits per second or insert performance above 1,700 events per second. And our log does offer many opportunities for concurrency. For example, auditing a log requires read-only access. This can be trivially offloaded to additional cores on the same host. And for infinite scalability, we can replicate the log server. We have one master log server can assign event indices, and a bunch of slave log servers can locally build a history tree with identical log. And since the rest of the log system is all deterministic, that will work, they can satisfy any necessary audit requests. We can also increase insert throughputs. Public key signatures are slow. They're 83% of our runtime. There's three easy ways we can optimize them. One option is you can only assign some of the commitments. For details, please see the paper. Alternatively, we can use a faster signature scheme, such as elliptic curve cryptography. We can also offload public key signatures to other hosts. And this could potentially increase throughput to 10,000 events per second. We can also gain more concurrency with replication. If you look at the actual processing pipeline of a log server, the first step is inserting into the history tree. Actually adding event to the history tree is an O of one operation. It's also a serialization point. This forms a fundamental limit of our system because this must be done on each replica of the log. Our prototype currently benchmarks 38,000 events per second, only using one CPU core. Now, generating commitments or proofs can be done concurrently on other cores in that machine as a logarithmic time operation. Signing commitments is constant time, but expensive, but this can be done concurrently on other hosts. So in conclusion, I have described a new paradigm for designing tamper-evident logs, where I described the importance of frequent auditing. I've also described the history tree data structure, which offers both very efficient auditing compared to prior designs. It also offers efficient predicate queries and safe deletion over the log, and I've just shown its scalability. Proofs of the tamper evidence of the history tree will be in my PhD thesis to appear in a few months. Questions?
Let's thank the speaker. Time for a few questions.
Oh, yeah, hi. I just have one question. So this is, sounds like a pretty good idea. I mean, a lot of the proxies on the market today are pretty primitive log collectors. But let's say I have a tamper proof and I want to get a subset of the data. So if you want to take a subset, can you regenerate the consistency? And it's basically more about data downsizing if you want to park it or use it in a court case later.
Absolutely.
That's a real practical application. So is there a mathematical way to write that down and complete that data reduction or not?
There's a way to generate a subset of the log. Proving that it's the correct subset is a bit more difficult. If you have a Merkle aggregation predicate that identifies the events you want, then you can both generate the subset and you can also prove it's the correct subset. But generating arbitrary subsets of the log is very easy because you can take the entire full history tree and prune off any subtrees that are unnecessary and authenticate every other event in it. So the way to answer your question, there's really two parts. The first is, can you generate a pruned history tree containing only a subset of events in the log? Absolutely possible. Because you can just prune off the unnecessary subtrees that contain events you don't need to actually supply. The second part of the question is, can you prove that is the correct subset and no required events were omitted? That can be done with if you have a Merkle aggregation predicates that identifies that subset correctly.
Any other questions? I'll throw one out. So can you briefly outline how you handle trees of different heights, like handle them, your history tree growing?
Actually, that's actually pretty straightforward. What you do is you start off with a minimal height tree. When it fills up, when it becomes a complete binary tree, you add one level, and the old tree becomes the left child of the new roots. And then you then have a whole other empty right subtree you can then use for adding on additional events.
And you can do that when you have append-only write-once storage?
Yes.
Okay, I'll believe you.
Yeah, I actually have a nice little figure showing the append-only write-once storage.
Oh, great.
So here, if you look at this right here, nodes in this system right here are basically frozen. In other words, they no longer change and essentially post-order traversal over the history tree. So as you insert events in, you can just store nodes, map each node into a static location into an array if events have a fixed size. For variable size events, you could have two such stores, one storing the history tree and one storing the actual event contents, which supports variable length events. And just mapping into indices into a post-order traversal, map those indices into an array, you're done.
Are there any other questions? Okay, let's thank the speaker again.